Welcome to the Jan Musin Garden Show on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC. It's your opportunity to learn more about your garden and your yard, about dealing with pests, and about taking care of the birds. You can be part of the show with your questions at 395-1450. That's 395-1450. And now, from DeBrine Seeds on Washington Avenue in Zeeland, here's the master gardener, Jan Musin.
Good morning, everyone. What another dull Michigan day, but hey, made brighter by even thoughts of planting outside this spring. So that's even better.
Before we get going, Jan, I got to ask, is your birthday coming up?
Yeah, it's Monday.
Okay, well, they in the paperwork for today's show, we have a card in a purple envelope that says Jan on it. So
that
I figure
might
we'll
be
just
mine.
Give that to you.
Why? Thank you, everyone here at the studio.
I guess on behalf of everyone, happy birthday, Jan.
Well, thank you very much. Not till Monday. I'm not getting another year older until Monday. I remember how much I'd loved that when I was little, but it's not so much fun anymore. And you know what? They always remember my birthday here. I go to my work. I've had years where they have not remembered my birthday at all.
Well, I haven't been here long enough yet to have my birthday here yet, so.
Yeah, but I've got it written down in.
Mine is in March.
So. We'll have to remember that. So, but it's always so nice to be remembered on your birthday. So thanks, everyone here. That's very sweet. Going to remind people, Coffee with the Birds is going on right now, no longer being live streamed. They did a really cool app today about and what you can do with your Merlin bird app. And I don't, if you do the Great American Backyard Bird Count, the Merlin bird app is really cool because you can actually take a picture of the bird you want identified, or you can describe it. And they've got little groups that you can describe, you know, is it a large bird, small bird, blah, blah, blah. Or, as Kurt last week told me, you can record their sound, and it will tell you what bird it was. So I've been playing with that, record the sound, and it's been, as far as I know, fairly accurate. I heard the cardinals at my feeder, so then I record the sound, and yeah, it came back cardinal, and so then a little blue jay came in, so yeah, it identified that. So it's identifying the basic ones so far. So this is going to be really fun this summer when I start hearing all the ducks on the lake behind my house, because I always just assume they're ducks. Ducks is ducks. But that's not true. There are so many different types of ducks. I remember going on a bird walk with Elton Gray, and he had some scopes that window on the waterfront, and he's go, what do you see? And I see ducks. Now that's this, and that's this, and that's this. And so when you look with different eyes, and you've got your Merlin bird app, or you've got some sort of app with you, or some sort of bird book, you can actually see, yes, there are that many different birds out there. So it's fun to know. I was going to make a list of all the birds that I saw at my feeder this week and just run down all the birds that I saw. You would be surprised how many different types of birds you actually get at your feeder. So don't just assume it's all sparrows. There's a lot of different little birds and there's a lot of birds out there in the winter. So, you know, it's kind of fun to keep that feeder going. My bird bath is another thing that the birds are at all the time. I see probably more birds, different birds over there than I see at my feeder. Every bird needs water. They don't always like to go to your feeders. So that's kind of a place to really see the different type of birds. And if you put your bird bath kind of near some shelter, a pine tree, some bushes that are evergreens that they can hide in if they feel threatened, you'll actually get a lot of birds that you won't ever see at your feeder at your bird bath. Just remember to keep it clean, and in the summer make sure you put some mosquito dunks in there so you don't get mosquito larvae forming on the top and getting mosquitoes by it. We don't want that. So it's a fun thing. It's just fun to have water and food out for the birds right now. It's not like they completely depend on your feeder to eat. But it's kind of like us going out to eat. Certainly is nice to know that there's always going to be feed right there when they stop by to get it. So, you know, I always try to remember to fill the feeders every day or every other day at the very least at my house, because the birds do eat quite a bit. It's not just my ducks. All the little birds like it also. So keep those feeders full. If you don't know what to feed, I do have a list of all the different feeds that you can get. And, I mean, it's just at DeBrine's, we have black oil and striped sunflower, safflower, sunflower chips, the Niger thistle, finch mix, white millet, red milo, shelled corn, crack corn, ear corn, peanut rejects, peanuts and shells. I've got Jan's No Waste. I got Mr. B's fruit and nut mix. I've got cardinal mix, chickadee mix, woodpecker mix, wild critter mix, supreme, premium, and junco. And those are just, you know, some of the mixes that we have at DeBrine. So the birds are going to find something that I like. And we also have suet of every different flavor. My birds just like the plain old suet or the one woodpecker one. They're not that fussy. But we've also got, this is really fun, it's spreadable suet. It's almost like a peanut butter that actually you can, if the birds aren't coming to your suet feed or whatever, spread this stuff over it and it will stick there. Or if you're making a craft and you're supposed to put peanut butter on it, put this spreadable suet on it and then run it through some seeds. They'll love this stuff. It's kind of a unique product that you can put on the side of. Ken was telling me that the salesman said, you know, put it on the bark of your trees and the nuthatches and the titmice when they go running up and down your tree trunk will love it. They'll stop and they'll peck that all off. So it's a new product. I think it's kind of neat. Hope it stays out there. We've also got the bird seed that's got the hot pepper already mixed in it. We've got a hot pepper, just a birdseed blend mix. We've got a Cajun cardinal mix. I think it's got some safflower and some sunflower chips in it. And we've also just got the hot meats, which is just sunflower. And it's absolutely coated with the hot pepper mix. We have the hot pepper mix that you can mix with your birdseed. I've done that in the past, and I find it kind of all goes to the bottom when I'm mixing it up in the barrel. So they suggest you take some, like, Pam or just cooking spray, and especially if it's, like, black oil sunflower, and spray the seeds. And that way this stuff will stick to the seed, because a squirrel, when it's opening up a great big old black oil sunflower, he's going to crack that open and just eat the inside. Well, the inside does not have any of that hot spray or hot whatever you put on there. So it's best if you really get it to stick on there so it really stays in their mouth and they don't like it. It's something they might get used to it after a while, but it would be, if you got the stuff that's really, you know, just covering the stuff, I don't think they'll get used to that. So it's, if there's a squirrel problem and you've tried the squirrel feeders and they're still chewing them or they're still trying to figure out a way to get the food, this might be a way to stop them for a while. So we've got plenty of that in the store. So it's kind of something to think about in the back of your head, you know, as you're watching, you know, the birds and the squirrels are just coming in there and just, you know, wrecking havoc. I don't mind when those little possums and stuff come at night and feed under the feeder. That's just fine with me. Actually, possums love, Niger thistle seed, a little tiny black seed. Actually, the birds crack that open and get whatever is inside there out. I mean, it's already so small, I can't imagine there can be that much in it. The possums, and then they just drop the seeds on the ground. Well, my ducks will clear that up, not a problem. possums like to eat that also. So if you got a little possum that cleans up under your feeder, they'll clean up all that thistle seed shells underneath your feeder. So don't be scared if you have a possum. And remember, we like possums. Possums cannot carry rabies. Possums also eat ticks. So they're our friends. They also eat snakes. So they're definitely our friends outside. So, you know, if you see a possum, may not be the prettiest animal in the world, but they're kind of fun. I have a possum by my house. If I'm sitting outside in the backyard in the patio, it will come walking up to me if I'm just sitting there very quietly reading. And I always think it's the cat. All of a sudden you hear this sniffing. And you look down and there's a possum looking up at you. So he's not really afraid of me, but he's not going to hurt me either. So I know that. And he knows he can just go over by the feeder and I'm not going to bug him too much. Keep those possums there if you possibly can. I just think it's kind of cool. I just learned recently that they like the Niger thistle shells. So that's the one problem I hate under my thistle feeder is all of those shells. So, hey, possums or ducks, if you got either one, you got it made. They'll clean it up. So, and, you know, we talked with Kurt Dykstra last week, and he reminded you that you needed the three things to attract a bird. You had to think like a bird. You know, if you want birds in your backyard, think like them. Are they going to come in just to a random feeder in the backyard? Might be, but they're not going to be, you know, that's not going to be their normal feeder to come at unless you add maybe some water and maybe some shelter. That's, again, your Christmas tree. I saw a couple of Christmas trees in people's driveway this week. Put it out in your backyard for the birds. They will love you for it. So will the little small mammals. We're going to say like chipmunks, but hey, I guess everyone's got to live. But little rabbits, they also like little brush piles where they can go in and hide from their predators. It's just kind of a fun thing to do. You know, if you want to see all the livestock, all the wildlife in your backyard, that Christmas tree, old Christmas tree, is a good thing. We need to stop and take a break, but we will be back with the Garden Hour after that.
Let's get back to the Jan Musin Garden Show. Call the Master Gardener from DeBrine Seeds in Zeeland now at 395-1450. Once again, here's Jan Musin.
And we are back, and I would be remiss if I didn't tell you about all the stuff that's happening right now. You know, we think we're in the middle of a dark winter, but hey, there are activities to do. Ottawa County Parks has, besides Coffee with the Birds, the next one at Coffee with the Birds will be on February 11, and they're going to talk about birding in Alaska during their little break in the middle. I saw some of Kurt's pictures that he'll be presenting. They are stunning. So it's probably something not to miss. It's February 11 at, you can either go to Hemlock Crossings or you can live stream it. They also have February 18 and in the morning and again in the afternoon, they're doing winter birding trip. And I guess he's done this several years in a row. It's $10 per person. You know, wintertime birding can be an adventure worth the effort. Come along as we venture to local birding hotspots. And on the 18th, part one is from 10 until 1 p.m. And that's going to be in the Pigeon Lake area. And they see a lot of the water birds there at that time. Really fun. I've seen some of the pictures from other years of the birds they've seen. That is fun. I love looking at the winter birds that are like at Lake Michigan, and you think, oh, there's nothing out there. There's all kinds of different birds out there right now. So, you know, check out check out that. And then, or you go on the bird walk on February 18, part one from 10 to 1 at the Pigeon Lake area. And part two is from 1 until 5 at Hemlock Crossing. So you'll see not only just the water birds, but then you'll see land birds also. So that will be fun. He knows all of the places where these birds are. He's an avid birder. So this will be a great time if you just, you know, if you're new to bird watching, going on a walk with an avid birder is probably one of the most special times you'll ever go. I went on two walks with Eldon Gray, and I cannot tell you how special those walks were. He would just go, oh, chipping sparrow up in that tree right there. Oh, that white-crowned sparrow over there. He would hear them, and he would instantly hone in on where they were, and he could point to them. I'm four birds back, and he just keep walking and keep, you know, pointing out birds. It is a special time. So Kurt is an avid birder. This the bird walk should be just a fun time. And then on February 19 from 3 to 4:30 at Hemlock Crossing, Kurt's going to be doing a presentation called Winter's Ghost, Snowy Owls. And I don't know if you've ever seen a snowy owl down here before. They're pretty majestic. It's kind of amazing if there's a little snow on the ground, how hard these things are to spot. And it's not like they hide. They like to sleep during the day, so they'll perch on like a telephone pole or even a fence post. And you'll look three or four times just right by them, and all of a sudden, oh, that's a bird there. Now, birds are protected. You can't go up there, you know, to try to get the best picture. You know, oh, I want to get 2 feet away from the bird while it's sleeping. You cannot do that. You need to give it space. So, you know, all of our cameras have, you know, a zoom on it. So use that. Please don't interrupt them. Would you like it if they interrupted you while you slept at night? Probably not. So let's give them the space during the day when you see them. Get your best picture, but please don't disturb them or interrupt them while they're sleeping. But they are an absolute wonderful bird to see. They hunt for little mammals. So they like to be out in the farmland. They like to land on a fence post and look around, and they see them running around. They're great. They'll take care of a lot of mice, a lot of shrews. So if you get one in your backyard during the winter, that's pretty special. Now, these guys normally are up in the Arctic, so they call them an eruption when they come down. We normally see them this low in Michigan. No one has reported seeing a snowy owl yet in Ottawa County yet this fall or winter. I'm sure we'll get one or two. So, you know, kind of, you might want to keep an eye. Maybe Kurt's got something at Hemlock Crossings, or you can call him up at Hemlock Crossings and see, you know, are there any snowy owls? Where are they? So it might be interesting. But this talk should be wonderful. That's February 19 from 3 to 4. And then Michigan State University Extension is doing a bunch of different things. They're doing their live smart gardening with vegetables 101. They do this every spring. I've done it already. They say it's for new gardeners. And it's 6 different sessions that you do. It's on a Thursday night from 6 until 7. It's online. Don't worry if you can't do all 6 sessions. They do record them, so you can go back and get it. Basically, they say it's from start to finish for brand new vegetable gardeners and those who garden in large or small spaces. Learn all of the smart tips and practices to make you successfully grow your own food. I thought it was an interesting class. They do everything from choosing seeds to choosing the soil to put it in to fertilizing to taking care of them to insects. It kind of covered the whole thing. You can ask questions if you're on live. You can type them in. I thought it was a good class. I thoroughly enjoyed that one. So that is Smart Gardening with Vegetables. It starts February 2 and goes through March 16. You have to register by January 31, and the cost is $30. Believe me, you get a lot of handouts and a lot of stuff for that $30. And you could go back to that for the maybe it might be unlimited amount of times that you can, hey, I want to do that one on soil again. I don't think I quite caught all of that. Very interesting. And then the other one that I have done before is one of their pruning workshops. And this isn't until March 31 from 12:30 to 4:30 or April 7 from 12:30 to 4:30. And Rebecca Finneman from the MSU Extension Horticultural Expert and educator. She'll leave the online Zoom workshops that helped you design to learn the best practices for pruning and the proper equipment it takes for each job. I thought the pruning workshop was well worth it. I was always just a little bit unsure of when to prune, what to prune, how to prune. She takes you from A to Z through it. You can ask questions. The cost is $40 and you have to pre-register, and you can go to Michigan State University Extension, or you can go to events.anr.msu.edu/events and you can register for these. I thought these were fantastic courses to, you know, the pruning workshop. You will learn a lot, especially if you got a new house, you got a bunch of bushes, a bunch of trees, you got fruit trees, you don't know what to do with them. She will explain it. I mean, you can take a picture and send it to her, and she'll talk about it on her lecture. So I learned a ton. I think this is something for every homeowner to go through and do the pruning workshop. And then last but not least is there's a fruit. If you've got fruit trees in your yard, there is a Backyard Fruits 101, and it's an online course that will prepare you to select, plant, and maintain the many fruits that can be grown in Michigan. It's a self-paced course. You can access it at MSU Extension or at events.anr.msu.edu/events. The cost is $30 for this, but really, if you want, you know, you think, oh, all I have to do is just plant the tree and that's it, or plant the bush and that's it. The different things require different types of soils, different types of environments to live in. So you might as well know, you know, plant to the existing conditions. Don't plant to what you think that you can make them. Don't plant, oh, I've always wanted blueberry bushes and wouldn't they be pretty right here? Well, that may not be where the blueberry bushes will survive the best. They need a whole different type of environment. So, you know, doing this backyard fruit thing might be a good thing to do. You know, catch you up on all the different things. Might talk a little bit about pruning, but the pruning workshop really covered that, I thought, extremely well. So, yeah, if you got a backyard, if you're going to do vegetables, fruit trees, or if you want to prune some things this winter, and this is the time of year to prune your deciduous trees, blueberry bushes, this is the time to start pruning those also. So we need to know how to do it. And yes, this is the time of year to get out there. So it's just kind of a very nice way of helping homeowners, you know, be able to grow food or keep their existing, your landscape bushes, etc. They're expensive to replace. I will tell you that right now. I had to replace just a couple of bushes, and wow, I could not believe how much that was. A bush that was the same size as what I lost, it was incredibly expensive. So we need to know how to take care of everything. We need to stop and take a break here, but we will be back right after these messages.
Let's get back to the Jan Musen Garden Show. Call the Master Gardener from DeBrine Seeds in Zeeland now at 395-1450. Once again, here's Jan Musen.
We're back. I'm going to quit yawning now, I promise. We've talked about, a lot about birds and all the things that are going on at MSU. At DeBrine's, we're still collecting for Island Dogs and Save a Gatto, always collecting for them. If you have any prescription drugs that you have not finished, I will gladly take them and send them down there. A lot of them, if it can be from your dog, cat, ferret, rabbit, or even you yourself, if you didn't finish your whole line of antibiotics or whatever, I will gladly take them and send them down. Really helps them out down there. I was looking at the Island Dogs website, and someone left a bunch of kittens on their doorstep. They are the cutest little kittens in the world. Somebody already adopted them or took them on as a foster, but they're like, I don't know what, we don't know kittens. And so I don't know why they just didn't go to Save a Gatto, but somebody took them. It was too cute. So now we're going to talk about getting close to February. Think of February, and that is when you think of frost seeding. Your pastures usually is February, March is when you would frost seed them. And what you do is you put, especially clover seed, it's really good for this because it's really small. And what it does is you put it on top, and the freeze-thaw cycle, like we're getting every day, at least we were getting, and we will get again, it will go down on the ground, when it thaws, and then it freezes over and it's in the ground now. So that's, and it'll have a jump start in the spring. So it'll grow first thing in the spring. It's easier to do with pasture seed. Some people try to do it with grass seed. Grass seed isn't as easy to do because it's bigger and it has a tendency to blow around. So if it's still on the top of the ground, because you can't really put it in the ground right now, and especially if it's kind of muddy on the ground, you don't want to compact the soil walking over it. But if you put the grass seed down and the wind picks up like it seems to every night, it might just blow away to the neighbors, and the neighbors might thank you. So it's probably best to wait until a little bit later in the spring and then apply it. I mean, you can put down grass seed any time it lies dormant until the soil warms up. That's why we usually try to put it down earlier than when the soil temperature reaches 55. That's when it will start to germinate. So if you can get that down there right away, this grass seed will germinate quicker than the weed seeds. That's your whole thought on this. But it's hard to do a frost seeding that will really come out well with grass seed. Pasture seed works extremely well. That's when the farmers are out there putting their seed down. And you really have to overseed your pastures like at least every other year. You got to revitalize it so it's not just, a bunch of timothy growing in there. You do want alfalfa and clovers and everything else. And they're biennials, which means two-year plants. So every 2 years you put a little bit more down. And February, March, those are the times to do it. This also is the time to check your hemlock trees. And the hemlock trees are the evergreen trees. They kind of have a flat branch on it and flat needles. And the hemlock woolly adelgid, which we thought was going to be quarantined into the Wakazoo Woods area, has escaped that, and it seems to be all over Michigan right now. So it's spread by birds. It's kind of hard not to. But look up in the tree and look where a little branch will come into a stem, and look to see if you can see a little white kind of fluffy fluff ball like the end of a Q-tip. And if you see a bunch of them, that's hemlock woolly adelgids. And what they do is they form that little ball over top of them, and then they're busy sucking out all the life out of your tree underneath that thing. So to spray that with something doesn't work, because like they're in a tank And if you're spraying water on a tank, it's not going to hurt the people inside. So we need to get the insecticide into the tree so they'll chew it and then they die. The good thing is it's extremely easy to take care of these things. The all-purpose, the used to be Bayer, bio-advanced tree and shrub, you just measure that, put it around the tree. It actually only has to be done once every 3 years. If you use the other stuff, the DinoTap or whatever, that has to be done every 2 years. This is not something that is hard to kill. And if you've got hemlock trees like I do that are very mature, you certainly don't want to lose them. And this can kill your hemlock trees. And that's why I remember when they first found it in the in Wakazoo Woods, they were tramping all over everybody's yards looking at hemlock trees, trying to, keep it in just certain areas. But it is all over now. That's how well we can keep it in one area. So do look to see your hemlock tree. It's really not the best time of year to put this stuff down. Wait until March and then put it around your tree, get it up in your tree so you can kill all that. And then do it every 2 to 3 years. So it's not that hard of a thing to do. And, if that's all you have to do to keep your trees healthy, it's well worth it. It costs a fortune to take down a tree. And you certainly don't want the tree just falling on top of your house. So let's keep those. And they're beautiful evergreen trees. Let's keep those going. This is also the time of year to treat your Japanese knotweed, and people that have it, they know how terrible this stuff is. Roundup does not kill it. Cutting it down in the summer doesn't kill it. It just gets an attitude and it just kind of spreads further and further. This is the time of year to knock it down when the ground is frozen. Take a machete, take a whatever, brush hog, get it down to 2 inches from the ground. And then when it starts coming up in the spring, you can, get those little branches or little things coming up. If you do this every year, you can keep a handle on it. And it won't be spreading. This stuff spreads so terribly fast. If you got it, hack it down to the ground. Otherwise, you could call the extension service. They might be able to help you. Send someone down that can spray them. You need someone that's got a registered use pesticide license for Japanese knotweed to help you with this. If this is all you could, it's the one thing that you can do to try prevent it from spreading. I know some people that actually planted the stuff because it was a great hedge between them and the neighbors. And now all of a sudden it's just growing like crazy on both sides. And now the neighbors are mad at you and you can't get rid of it. So knock it down right now. We need to stop and take a break, but we will be back right after these messages.
Let's get back to the Jan Musin Garden Show. Call the Master Gardener from DeBrine Seeds in Zeeland now at 395-1450. Once again, here's Jan Musin.
We're back. We've been talking about a couple of things around the yard here. I want to talk about composting in the winter. Some people just kind of ignore their compost heap in the winter, thinking it's not going to get hot enough to do anything. And yes, it actually can stay warm enough to decompose. So, don't give up on it during the winter. Sometimes it will steam in the winter where the compost pile is warmer than the snow that's coming down on top of it. Don't worry about it. It's not on fire. It's just that composting itself is a warm process. So don't be worried about that steam. The bacteria that's going to compost it likes the warmer temperatures. So keep it well managed. And if you've got snow that's completely covering it, that's usually a good little blanket over it and keeps the inside warmer, but it's still not going to be as warm as it is in the summertime. So don't throw, you know, like poison ivy on it right now, or any kind of invasive weed like Japanese knotweed on it, or anything like that, because it's not going to decompose completely, because it is a little bit cooler than it normally would be. But yeah, you know, if it's going to keep going on from the summer stuff, it will keep going. You know, just at a little lower temperatures. But in the summer, it's a little bit hotter, and it destroys a lot more of the pathogens that are in there. But hey, you've got it. It's still going. So you could probably still keep adding to it. Remember, you need the green and then the carbon. So you need both. You need the sticks and you need the green stuff. So the stuff that was green. So, you know, keep up your composting. As I mentioned before, this is the time for pruning of deciduous trees. Evergreens should be pruned in the late spring, so it's not time to prune your evergreens, but it is time to prune the trees and the shrubs that have lost all their leaves. And this is the time to shape them up, get all the branches that are crossing over each other and rubbing on each other, get the ones that are growing in the wrong direction, get the ones that are growing at the bottom of the tree, that are growing up. You definitely want to get those cut off. You want to get rid of any suckers, sprouts, and any dead branches or dying branches need to be pruned off. Remember, if this is a big tree and you need to get on a ladder, or you think you're going to go on top of the house and trim it, then we need to get a professional in. I don't want to get you hurt. Don't get over what I know you all think you can do this, and I do the same thing. I'm pretty sure I can do this yet, and then you've just made a mess, or you've gotten hurt doing it. So I hate for anyone to get up on the roof this time of year, especially, or on a ladder to trim something. It's really not, unless you're really used to that sort of thing, it's not a good thing to do. I know. And I've seen them too, where the neighbors, they, you know, you get three guys up on the roof and one's on a ladder and one's on the ground directing. Not a good sight. I want to see a professional in there doing that sort of thing. So big trees, let's get a professional in there and do them. But you can do the small ones. You can do the shrubs right now. Any of the ones that have lost their leaves, this is the time to trim them up and get them looking nice. Blueberry bushes, this is the time to do those also. So keep that in mind. It is not the time to do anything that flowers in the early spring. So like your forsythia bush right now, your rhododendrons, your azaleas, they've all got their blossoms on them right now. Do not trim them off. Well, I guess you could trim them off, but you just won't have flowers in the spring. So just keep in mind that those buds are on there and you don't want to trim them off. Your hydrangea bushes, actually, you have got buds on them. It may just look like a little swelling near the end of a branch, but that's a bud for next year. So don't cut those off right now. So be real careful about things like that. You can cut down the dead stuff, but real careful looking back for those little swellings. You know, it's just a little swelling there. It doesn't look like a bud at all, but you know, you do want flowers. I mean, that's the whole reason you planted those bushes, is because you wanted the flowers, not because you thought the leaves look so nifty. So keep that little thought in mind, and don't be trimming those right now. And if you are trimming, make sure the pruners are sharp and they are clean. I know some people that will dip them in alcohol between each cut, just because they don't want to take some pathogen from one tree to another, or even from one part of a tree up to another part of the tree. So keep it clean. That's the whole advice. Keep it clean. So when you're trimming it off. Now we're going to go to houseplants. This is the time of year to really take a good assessment of your house plants. And I know this is the time of year that all of a sudden you see a lot of those brown tips on your houseplant leaves. And even you're careful not to overwater it, but all of a sudden they develop those brown tips at the end. And it looks like maybe even a whole stalk might be dying. The problem is it's just the salts. You know, you think water is just water, but there's minerals and things like that in it and salts in it that you don't know about, but the plants do. And when you see, and I know you've seen this, you'll see a houseplant that the pot's got some white crystals on the pot. That's just from salts from the water that you use. So, you know, I like to I've got some jugs that hold a couple of gallons of water in each. I like to fill those up, put them in the garage, and then I only water my houseplants in the winter maybe once every 2 weeks. They really don't need as much water. They're not growing as fast. But I use that water that has time to precipitate out of all the stuff that would hurt your plants. So, I mean, especially if you've got city water or soft water, whatever, we need to get all of that out of there. So just, you know, use some water that's been sitting around for a good 24 hours, and then you shouldn't have that problem anymore. To get rid of the brown tips on the leaves, take a scissors, cut them off. You might have to repot the plant if the soil's really bad, but I usually just cut them off if I see them every once in a while. And I use the water that I've had sitting around since the last time I watered it, so it's had plenty of time for all that stuff to precipitate out, evaporate out. So that's my advice for the week. I will be back next Tuesday at 8:35 with Dan, and that is the garden party. And then I will be on the garden show from 10 until 11 on Talk of the Town with Gary on Tuesday also. So it's a double whammy back-to-back with Jan. And then I will be back here next Saturday at 11:05 with the Garden Hour. It's always fun to come here and talk about everything we're doing in the store. We're getting in so many seeds. It's looking like spring at DeBrine's. It's always a good thing. But until next week, go green.
You've been listening to the Jan Musin Garden Show on 99.7, 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com. If you wish to hear this or other programs hosted by the Master Gardener from DeBrine Seeds in Zeeland, check out the podcast section of our website, whtc.com, and listen or download for free. The Jan Musin Garden Show is a presentation of 99.7 and 1450 WHTC.